is not my final home. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until that day, God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall.
Okay, and you should have in the garden notes on your table there.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
Good morning again. So nice to be here. So nice to see all you ladies come out again. As we were singing the Until Then song, in the refrain, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then with joy I'll carry on. That's what I hope this weekend here can do for you all. We're not home yet, but we can carry on with joy and singing. Stephanie gave me the topic of women's roles, and I think that's one of our roles, to be joyful, to be singing. Doesn't say everything's always happy, but even in hard trials and things, I think we can draw from the Lord and have a joy that is deeper than man's understanding. So that was, yeah, very good. And, yeah, as women roles, from what I sense, most of you have been in the church probably for a while. Maybe not all were raised in an Anabaptist setting, but so what I'm sharing this morning isn't going to be anything brand new, but one of my sisters at church in our prayer time on Wednesday night said a saying, and I can't quite remember it, but it was something to the fact that we don't need to have everything new, but we just need to be reminded of the things that are, yeah, we're to do. Because we are leaky vessels, we forget. We need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. This study of the women's roles was very good for me to look at, though I know them, but it's good to be reminded of God's place for us. So just pray for me that my voice holds up. It feels a little bit squeaky. And, yeah, water helps. So, and along with the topic, the theme of flourish was just pretty interesting for me as I related it to a number of our greenhouse growing things. So I'll bring a little bit of that in too. But first of all, the first thing I did was look at the topic or the definition of flourish. And I just kind of did a simplified definition here. But one of the definitions was to grow luxuriantly, whatever, or to thrive. Another one was to achieve a success or to prosper. And then more of an active one was to be in the state of activity or production. So I love the picture of thriving and prospering. And I think of plants, whether they're, yeah, your house plants, your outside plants, some of them thrive and some of them fail to thrive. So my question to you is, do you want to survive, just barely hanging on, or do you want to thrive and grow and be a luxurious plant or a luxurious woman in our case? Right now, and the last number of months, our greenhouses have been empty. We have like tables and concrete aisles and tables. And when the weather is bad at home and I want to take a walk, I'll go to the greenhouse and walk up and down the aisles. Very boring, but at least it's out of the elements. But there in aisle 9, there was this snapdragon plant growing, blooming. Like last month. The last time I saw it, it wasn't actually blooming right then, but it was a green plant. That plant hasn't had moisture outside of whatever it collected from the air since we closed the greenhouse at the end of June. That plant was thriving, and no one was even taking notice of it. That was just really a challenge to me. Do I thrive? Do I flourish? Even when no one notices? But, yeah, that little plant just hung on and did what God made it to do. So, first thing I wanted to look at was some struggles that might hinder us from flourishing. Could be diseases. In the natural, it's diseases, lack of nutrients, neglect, and bugs, pests. So, do you ever struggle with the roles or the gifts that God has given you? Do you wish that you were someone different? Maybe none of you here do that, but many women do. If we're single, sometimes we would like to be married. If we're married, sometimes they would like to be single. If you're an introvert, oh, if only I could be outgoing. And sometimes the outgoing ones just wish they could be more quiet. Do you wish for a personality different than your own? Meet someone that just, if only I could be like her. Maybe you would like to be more bold in evangelizing. Maybe you would like to be more gentle in your parenting. Or maybe you would like to be more firm. Maybe you would like to be better at hospitality. Or maybe you don't appreciate being the woman God made you to be. These are all struggles that we can have. But I want to encourage you to embrace who God has made you to be. He does not make mistakes. And while you are learning to grow in your weak areas, you know, some of these are weaknesses, and we want to grow in them, but there also is a point in accepting ourselves, who we are, that can make us flourish and grow, and even grow in our weak areas. If we are consistently kicking ourselves and not appreciating who we are, that doesn't give us a base in which we can flourish. And you, sorry, my back does not hold up to standing a lot, so I try to make myself comfortable here. Encourage you to make the best of every situation in your life, and not a martyr's best, doing it because I have to, but truly accepting your life and making it the best possible. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Right now I'm going to turn to Psalm 92, because I was like, what does the Bible say about flourishing? Does it even say, I had this in. Does it even have the word flourishing in? And it does. Psalm 92, I think, uses it 3 times. So you're welcome to follow along. I think I'm going to read the whole chapter just for the sake of context. So Psalm 92 actually says it's a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. Interesting. So verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon a psaltery, upon a harp and a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So as you see, there's 2 different kinds of flourishing. The wicked can flourish, but they'll be destroyed. Verse 8, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But thy horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And in my Bible, I underlined that probably because I find myself in the old age. But fat and green, flourishing means green in this case. And I wrote, why? Why are we supposed to be fat and flourishing? And verse 15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, yeah, that verse 7 gives the flourishing of the wicked. But then verses 12, 13, and 14 both all show flourishing as a godly person. And I just thought those verses were beautiful. Be like a palm tree, or we'll flourish in the house of the Lord. Or if we're planted in the house of the Lord, we'll flourish. So I just think that is beautiful. 2 different kinds of flourishing. let's flourish as godly women. And it's beautiful. So if you find yourself not flourishing, maybe you can just look at some of these struggles or fill in your own. I had a blank here. Fill in your own struggle that you might face as a woman, as accepting your role as a woman. And look at your problems. Address your problems. Sometimes when we can see what our problem is, then we know what to work on. If we're just struggling aimlessly, we don't know, then we can't work on something. But address it and try to work on areas that you might be struggling in. Maybe none of you are, but if I know of women in this group, there's some struggles here. All right, my second point is there is not just one way to flourish as women. Women have many roles and can do many things, and we're called of God to do many things. So the other morning when I was studying, in my mind's eye, I've started reflecting on my sisters at Oasis and the many roles that we might play. So I'm just going to go over some of them. I'm sure I missed some, but maybe you can identify with some of these, and maybe you have others. But my Oasis sisters are roles. Four of us are supporting husbands that are in church leadership. Three of them are supporting husbands that are in city ministry. We have a city ministry in our local city of Lebanon. Four of us are supporting husbands who are on the mission field, not mission field, mission committee, mission board, which entails different things, letting them have many meetings or even going with them to the mission field to visit missionaries. Two are supporting children who are on the mission field, which is a different role when you let your children go. 10 of them are tending babies. We had a baby boom at church. And 5 are creating new life within. 1 is a mother of a special needs son. Years ago, they had an accident and their son had sustained head injuries, and he's been handicapped ever since. So not only is she supporting him, she's accepting the fact that he will never be like others. 2 of the mothers are praying for unsaved sons. 3 are needing to earn their way as singles. 2 are older singles that are finding their way as their friends marry. By older singles, I mean like kind of they're in the 20 bracket. Their friends are getting married, and they're needing to find their way and accept where God has placed them at this time. 1 is supporting a husband with chronic health issues and dietary restrictions. 1 is planning a wedding. This is my daughter. And accepting many changes because her husband is from Harmony and they plan to go there, and it's not easy for her. 1 is facing aging. She's in her 70s, and she's also caring for a special needs older sister. So her life is really challenging right now. And 8 of us are supporting parents that are aging. And then we have, of our married ladies, they support husbands. 4 are farmers, 5 are truck drivers, 1 is retired. 5 are day laborers, 3 are in horticulture, 5 are carpenters, 5 are truck drivers. I had that already, okay. And 1 is in the medical field. I might have missed a few, but, you know, we as women have many different roles to play, many different ways we can support our husbands or our children or our church. And you all could fill in a totally different list than I did. Those are my sisters. It's very special to look over the many different roles that we play. So my third point is how to flourish. And this might not be what you think right away, but the first thought that I had on how we can flourish is we need to die to self. You look at a seed, And before it can sprout and grow into a new plant, that seed needs to die. If you had a corn seed or a wheat seed or even a flower seed, if it wanted to just be a seed, this is who God made me. I want to be a seed. And you never planted it and let it die, because it literally the seed will rot away and the germ within will start a new plant. But if that corn seed wanted to just stay a corn seed, it would have no life. It would have no purpose, really, except to be eaten, maybe. But if you plant that seed and it grows into a big stalk, and think of an ear full of, I don't even know how many seeds are on an ear of corn, but a lot. That is what one seed can do. So even though dying to self sounds not nice, and sometimes it hurts, but it's how we will flourish and bring forth more fruit. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, 'If anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" So if we have dreams and visions inside or outside the home, even good ones, we need to surrender them to God's will. That is the only way we can flourish. I wish I had it a little plant here, but I'll try to explain it the best I can. I like this word picture. My husband's used it quite a number of times. This is maybe not dying to self, but being pruned. We start many of our plants, and either we plant them in little plugs, or we stick them in little plugs and root them, or we get them in as plugs. But there are some plants that branch out or branch a stem. Snapdragon's one of them. Caliber Coa is another one. A lot of them are self-branching, but there are plants that when I'm coming to plant them, I make hanging baskets with combination and color bowls, planters. If I take a plant out and it's one of those that is a stem plant or just I will pinch, I will prune the center out, the very heart of that plant. I just pinch it away. Why do I do that? That will then cause the plant to branch out. So instead of having this one plant with a flower on top, you can have this one plant full of flowers. And we pinch it once when it's that tender new plant, and then often we'll pinch it again. I make my hanging baskets and I set them on the tables, and then they probably sit there for a few weeks growing out, and then they come along and hang them up on our hooks. That's how we sell them then. But they will come and prune those plants again, especially petunias. That's a good one to prune because it just makes it branch and flourish so much better than if you just let one plant grow out. Many times God chooses to prune us, to maybe take something away from us that we thought was really God's will. Maybe a desire for the mission field. I know a young girl who was in Turkey, and she felt very fulfilled, and she got sent home, and she just struggled. Why? You know, it was God was pruning her. He was taking out that very love that she had. And it was a good thing, and it was a right thing. Or maybe it's a ministry opportunity you're involved in or want to be involved in, and God says no, or he cuts it off. Why does he do this? Maybe he's pruning you so that you bring forth more fruit. So if you're ever faced with feeling like God doesn't care, he just took it away from me, remember a plant and how we prune it or we pinch it so that it can flourish in a much more beautiful way. I had to think of mothers needing to die to self. As a mother, you often need to die to sleeping all night, having quiet, undisturbed mornings. I used to struggle with that. I just wanted to have quiet mornings, and I needed my sleep and settle down, and the little ones start waking up. That's okay. Maybe it's having a clean house. as wives, we might need to die to submitting to our own plans and our own ideas. Sometimes it's, this maybe was one for us, my own bedtime and wake time. My husband and I do not have the same schedules, so that was an area I needed to die to. Sometimes we need to give up ourselves to meet the needs of our husband. And as singles, you might need to die to the dreams of love and marriage. All these are good things, but we need to let them go. We need to surrender. And in our surrender, let's not take a martyr's attitude. Take a positive attitude, and that will make so much difference in your life and in the life of your children. I had talked a little bit about my mother yesterday, and I realize I said a nice amount there, but I'll just reiterate that. My mother's a very strong woman. And yeah, she had to give up much with my dad being gone a lot, but she never took that martyr attitude. She must have had a surrendered heart. And that really affected her children in the home. If she would have been complaining and grumbling about dad being gone, we might have resisted him and not appreciated our dad. But we never felt that way. So I just want to encourage all you mothers that your attitude, no matter what it is, maybe it's your husband's work hours, maybe it's his job, maybe it's where you live, your attitude can really, really make a difference in the lives of your children. And my dad is one of the most godly, supportive men in my life. He really is. And his life has changed a lot, especially since he was converted when I was 18. But I don't want to make my dad sound bad, but I just want to say how my mother's attitude and her support and her probably dying to self many times without having a "I'm dying" attitude was really, really important to us children. And in my husband's earlier days in ministry, especially when Mose Stolzfus was alive, maybe, I don't know if any of you know him, but Mose kind of took John under his wing and traveled with him, and they did a lot of things together. And I was always very supportive of him to go. It's like, I'll stay home, I'll keep the home running, the children as normal as possible. We did fun things while their dad was gone. And it took me a while to realize this was my mother's example. And back then, God was preparing me for the life that he called me to. So in our dying to self, have a good attitude. Okay, point number four. I titled fruitful flourishing. This is the active part that we can take in flourishing. I had to think all plants perform differently. We have trees, flowers, herbs, vegetable plants, perennials, house plants. You would not go to your geranium and expect to find a tomato. You wouldn't go to a tree and try to pick your parsley or your rosemary. And I wouldn't bring a perennial daisy or perennial phlox into my house for winter green as a house plant. That's not what God created them to be. So I want you to all know your place where God has called you, whether you're single or married or a mother, or you fill in the blank, and be fruitful in your flourishing, fruitful and flourishing. I went to Google to look up for a modern version of Proverbs 31. I thought, maybe somebody has wrote up a modern version. And I didn't, search real far. But I found the modern translation, The Message, which I don't even like. But their rendition of Proverbs 31, I thought, this is about as practical to us as as anybody else's modern translation. So I am going to read over those verses in the Message. I hope no one's offended. I figured it's as good as somebody else's writings, but and then we'll go back and just talk about each of the different areas. So Proverbs 31:10 says, "A good woman is hard to find, her and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and has no reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons. She enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn, preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. 16, she looks over a field and buys it. Then, with the money she put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She is skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She is quick to assist anyone in need and reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Her winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly appreciated when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothing are well-made and elegant. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. 28. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you have outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman is to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises." All right, that was the Message version of it. So I'm going to go back and just go over, each verse and see what I kind of applied it to my life. Maybe you would fill in it a little bit differently so you can think down your own life too. So she's worth more than diamonds. Now, the King James would say rubies, and I almost like that better because a ruby is far more valuable than a diamond, and I think a godly woman is far more valuable than an ungodly one. But I did a quick search on the value of rubies versus diamonds, and it said it depends on the quality of it, but a 1-carat ruby can cost anywhere from $1,000 to $1 million. Untreated rubies, especially larger ones, increase in price faster than diamonds. A 1-carat diamond can cost between $2,000 and $14,000. So just in comparison, a rare ruby can cost up to $1 million and a diamond up to $14,000. So rubies are definitely more valuable than diamonds. But the comparison is to show you that jewels are valuable, and a virtuous, godly woman is even more valuable than that. So keep that in mind when you feel not very valuable. You are. Verse 12 is... She treats her husband, 11 and 12 are about the husband, and that she treats him generously all her life long. Husbands, your husband can learn to trust you, and hopefully he does, if you have earned that trust. If you have been faithful in, say, the household budget, maybe a credit card. My husband does not mind if I have a credit card. He trusts me with it. I'm probably more tight than he is. But yeah, we can, a virtuous woman, a woman that's flourishing, her husband can trust her without reserve. 13 is that she shops for yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. To me, I took that as I want to buy quality items. As much as your funds allow, buy things that are of good quality so that they can last longer. And I enjoy sewing, so I felt blessed there because it's something I like doing. And not everybody likes sewing. And I remember a lady at Harmony years ago. She did not grow up sewing, and it was not something she enjoyed. So that was something her husband said, you get someone else to sew. So I don't want anybody to feel guilty if they're not sewing. But do what you can. And then the trading ships from afar and bringing back exotic surprises. I was not sure what that meant. But for me, that's going to the discount grocery store and finding some unique things. I'm not going to, probably bring back too many exotic surprises, but And she's up before dawn preparing breakfast and organizing her day. I wrote, yikes. I do wake up before dawn probably, but... And when my family was at home, yes, we always prepared breakfast for the family and organized my day. I had to. As a mother of six, organizing probably was not my natural gift, but I found out that organizing my day was very important. Just think of anybody have that drawer where you throw all your utensils in and you soon can't shut the drawer? If you take everything out and organize it, you still have room for a few more things. So your day can be like that. Your day can be haphazard and can't fit one more thing into it. If you make a schedule and do things on a schedule, it's amazing how much more time you have. I appreciate a schedule not to control me, but that I can control my schedule. If something else comes up, sometimes you have to lay that schedule aside for the sake of the gospel or the sake of your family. But being organized in your day, you can get so much more done. Now that I'm all done homeschooling and life felt a little bit freeing, and not in such a good way, because I'm like, I don't want to be lazy in the morning. My husband now goes to work, and I could just kind of fritter the hours away if I wanted to. But I now drive to an Amish school, our Amish schools in the area that have special needs. There's two schools in the area that have special needs. They drive their teachers and their students, and that's what I do. So every morning, my alarm goes off at 7 in the morning. Well, that's not my wake-up alarm. That's my alarm to, I have 5 minutes yet till I need to leave. And I really, really like, because then I go drive an hour, I come back, and I feel ready to face my day, because before my alarm rings at 7, I try to have laundry done in the washer or maybe even in the dryer hung out. So I just love how that keeps my day organized. Verse 16 talks about buying a field. I always tease my husband about this one. What if you'd come home and I'd say, hey, I bought the field across the road? He would not be impressed, because land in Pennsylvania is not very cheap. So I'm not exactly sure how that verse applies to me, to us at this day, but I think we should find the best things for our family, whether it's a garden. I don't know if you garden much out here, but something, it's our culture back home where we garden and grow the best foods we can for our family or find sources for it. And then she gets up in the morning, dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves to get started. That kind of goes with my organization. But that's one thing I like to do. I don't feel ready to face my day until my hair is combed and I'm dressed and I have my shoes on. There are studies that show that when you put your shoes on, you feel ready to face the day. I'm ready to go. And then it talks about her sense of worth of work, and she is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. This can be hard, but it's worthwhile. And all depends who you are. You need to find time to stop in the evenings. If you're one of those night owls and your husband is not, speaking from experience there, sometimes you need to just let things go. But if you plan your day and organize your day, you can finish a lot of those things earlier. So that when it's time to go to bed, that your house is presentable. I know our one missionary wife, she always liked to put her house to bed. She liked to clean it up and put it, have it all cleaned the next morning, which is a wonderful thing to do. But I found out that's not actually who I am. Yes, I love to get up to a clean house, but sometimes in the morning I felt more invigorated to clean up things. So I kind of do whatever feels best for me at the time. I don't empty my dishwasher the night before. I won't empty that in the morning while my coffee is getting ready. So do what works best for you and your husband. So she is skilled in crafts, diligent in homemaking. She's always learning. That's something I often every, like at the beginning of winter, I'm like, what can I learn new this year? One year, just a couple years ago, I decided I'm going to learn to make pie crusts. My mother tried very hard to teach me when I was young. I hated making pie crust. But I decided, you know what? I'm in my 50s. I can learn to make pie crusts. So I did. Still don't like it the best. One year I decided I'm going to learn to make bagels. And that was really fun, but also really fattening. So I know how to make bagels now, but I don't make them a lot. And I also have a daughter who, she said she was going to learn to make things that you would normally buy. I can't remember what she all tried, but she tried to make potato chips and a few other things. I should have asked her what they were, but just encourage you. You can always be learning something new. And, yeah, whether it, the last year I was going to learn watercoloring. That never got very far. For a sister's meeting, we had a lady come in and teach us how to watercolor, and I just so enjoyed it. But I thought, I think I would learn better if maybe I had a few other ladies that were wanting to learn with me. So be diligent in homemaking and always learning something new. If that's who you are, if you're not, yeah, don't put yourself under any burden because Beverly says learn something new. Just she doesn't worry about her family when it snows. If I understand it, you don't get a lot of snow out here, but you do get cold weather. So one thing, when I had children, I was always trying to learn, get on top of organizing their outgrown clothes. So I had five daughters, so there was a lot of saving clothes that were nice enough yet for the next one and trying to keep it organized so that I knew what I had. And if I went to, we had a lot of yard sales in the area, so I tried to make a list of the things I need yet so that I didn't buy a whole lot more than I needed. So a virtuous woman is, yeah, looking ahead, seeing what weather is coming and make sure that her family is ready for whatever is coming. She makes her own clothes and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Not sure my husband would appreciate silks, but anyway. I take this to mean, though, that she's well-dressed. She's dressed in a feminine way. And feminine doesn't need to be frumpy. I don't see any of you here that are. But we can be feminine and ladylike in making our own clothing, in making modest clothing. It's one of our callings. So our husbands are greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. I see maybe the city fathers would be the church fathers more in our day and age. But because of her support, her husband is able to flourish in the area. There's a saying behind every strong man is a good woman or something. And I believe that a woman can either make or break her husband or her father if that is your area where you're in. If you're supportive and encouraging, he can flourish in that area. If you're the opposite, downgrading and always, yeah, making him feel bad, they're affected by that and cannot flourish near as well. Okay, she sews and sells gowns and knits, sweaters. I have daughters. Two of them that especially loved to sew, and even after they got married, they sewed for other people. It gave them something to do. It also gave them a little bit of income. One thing I do been doing it for probably 10 years, is crocheting like little dishwashing scrubbies out of nylon netting. I crochet those and I sell them at our garden center. Just gives me something to do, and I enjoy if I have a quiet evening. Even when we're meeting someone, I can sit there and crochet while we're talking to them. So she faces each day with a smile. I love that picture. She can face tomorrow with a smile because she has a surrendered heart. Even when hard times come, a surrendered heart helps us to put a smile on our face. So when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she says it kindly. Wonderful goal. I'm still working on this one, to not just talk for the sake of talking, but to be wise and to say words of wisdom, words that encourage others. We can all do that, even if we are a young girl. We can speak worthwhile things. Verse 27 is talking about keeping an eye on the household, making sure it's busy and productive. And that brought back a lot of memories of when I had young children. I wanted to know where they were. I didn't want them just out running around unattended. I like to know who they were with, especially one of the family group that we would get to had a more diversity in families. So I like to know where my children were and who they were playing with and what they were doing. Also, don't allow laziness in your children. That doesn't say you can't give them time to read a book or something, but if there's work and chores that need to be done, make sure they do it first. It will really help them a lot as they grow up and face their own homes. I feel like a mother should be busy teaching her children to be adults, not just children. And don't take me wrong, children should be children. But it feels nowadays some parents don't want to give their children any chores because, well, they should enjoy being children. No, you're raising adults. Don't make your child get to adulthood and not be ready to face what all adulthood brings. Our children always had daily chores. Around the house, picking up, doing dishes, all those things. They also, from a very young age, learned to do their own laundry. I read this years ago and adapted it to my home, and it does not work for everybody, but I'll just share what I did in case one of you would say, oh, I think that would work for me. But each of our children had their own laundry hamper, and were responsible to put their clothes into their own hamper. And I got them enough of clothes, underwear, to go 1 week. And one day each week, they were in charge of doing their laundry. They put it in the washer. They would dry it, whether it was in the dryer or outside, and fold it and put it away. It did a lot of things. I never had to sort socks. Never had to sort underwear when you have a whole bunch the same size. Also taught my children a lot of responsibility. If my youngest one especially thought this was so much work to do her laundry. I mean, laundry is very much a part of a mother's life, so learn to do it when you're young. I said, well, that's okay, but then you just don't wear clean clothes. Oh, I want clean clothes. Well, then you need to go do your laundry. Taught them a lot of responsibility. And now my daughters are doing the same thing. Even at 3 years old, they're putting their wash in the washer. And they don't make them do everything, but they're helping. At a very young age, they're starting to help. And I go past my one daughter that has 5 boys, and sometimes the shirts are hung haphazardly on the line, or the jeans are hung up by one leg. But they're learning. And you know, in the long run, they're going to dry, and they're going to wear them, and they're going to get dirty right soon. So that was just one area that I found keeping my children busy and teaching them to be adults at a young age was beneficial to them and very beneficial to me. I wanted to make sure my daughters and my son learned to do some cooking. I should say, my son learning to do some cooking, and my daughters to know how to cook. I grew up, I knew how to bake. We loved to bake, but at 16, I went to work at the factory until I got married. So I had a lot to learn when I got married, and I did not want my daughters to quite have that. I just remember my one daughter, when she was probably in her last year of school, I gave her a whole month of January to make supper every night. Plan it. It's her responsibility. Oh, she thought this was so much work. I have to do it every day. You know, I have to do it again tomorrow. Yes, you do. But now she's cooking for three little ones, and her husband, I think she's very glad for the things she has learned. Right now, it's my daughter and I at home, so she makes meals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I make them the other days. And she said, I don't think any of my other sisters had to cook this much. I just smile, because you won't regret it someday. And then the last couple verses are simply the rewards, where her children will rise up and bless her. Her husband will join in words of praise. Isn't that what we would all desire, to be valued? And even if our husbands don't praise us, or our children, yeah, maybe they're not, maybe your husband's not vocal like that, but he still appreciates a virtuous, godly woman. Or if you were removed from the home, he would appreciate it. Sometimes those years of little ones, I see some mothers here with lots of little ones. It's hard. They're blessings, and you wouldn't trade motherhood. But mothering is hard. To me, settling squabbles was hard. And now when my children do it, I laugh because I don't have to anymore. And they're doing a really good job of being consistent with their child training. But for a mother, it can be hard. We can feel almost taken advantage of 24/7. We are on call. We don't ever get time off. We're tired. We go to bed. If the baby wakes up, needs to be fed, mom's there to do it. But be faithful. Be faithful in that role that God has placed you, and you will have many rewards now and in the years to come. And I always knew that, but now as my last daughter is getting married, I just feel incredibly blessed. Our children respect us, honor us, love to be together, our family, especially the daughters, they love to be together. I feel incredibly blessed. I didn't deserve it, but I'm very thankful for it. So as we look over this, Proverbs 31, I don't see this as one woman doing all these many things, but it's the traits of a virtuous woman. So you don't have to do all of these. Like I said, if you can't sew, that's okay. But these are traits of a virtuous woman, and you can be a virtuous woman right now where you're at. So be faithful in that. So as I close this, I think in my mind's eye, do you all like have hanging baskets and things that you buy at the garden centers? That comment out here, I figured. But I, in my mind's eye, I can see each of you women as a beautiful, well-branched plant. A hanging basket that is well-branched or hangs down over in a very beautiful way because it's been pruned. It's been taken care of, so that it can flourish. And I think in our next session, I'll talk a little bit about ways that we can, our plants can flourish and grow. But that is what I see for each one of you, just a well-rounded, well-branched woman. She has feminine beauty from every angle that you look at her from. Her life is flourishing. Your life is flourishing. And no matter what stage of growth you're at, you can be flourishing. Even our little plants in a plug tray. We have these little plugs and little plants. There's some of them that will spit out a little flower, which we have to pinch off. But even at that very tiny plant, it can flourish. And when we flourish, we can bring joy, life, beauty, or fragrance to those around us, to your children, to your church sisters, to your coworkers, to your husbands. You can bring joy, life, beauty, and even a beautiful fragrance to those around you.
Four more drawings. And yeah, the gifts are either the plaque and the flower on the table or a gift.